is SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, you'll find it here. It's Insight Applied. And now, here's Brad and Scully.
Hello, school marketers, and welcome to SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, we'll be talking about it here. I'm Brad Entwistle, and this is episode number 144 for Wednesday, October 31, 2018. Scully, nearly at the end of the year, which means it's cricket season.
It is. The sun is out, and it's good to hear the sound of leather on willow, but it's being overwhelmed by media beat-ups.
Media beat-ups. You're to blame for the in-depth report about the state of the culture of Australian cricket.
Yes, you can track the demise since the migration of the Sculthorpe family to these shores.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And now to really serious things, not a mere game of cricket. 49% of the respondents to our 2018 school marketing and social media survey said that they wanted to learn more about podcasting. And that was the equal top thing that the respondents said they wanted to learn about, with along with live video. And an article talking about the voice of influence, why podcast marketing remains an untapped resource. Well, we've always thought it is, Scully, but this report, which is a little bit of in-house reporting because it was sponsored by Nova, the radio people, who also teamed up about a year ago now with Acast and now offer their podcasts to a much bigger audience. They're saying context is everything when it comes to podcasting, and that we need to consider the environment, and it's a one-on-one experience. So thank you, dear listener, singular, the one of you listening to us right now.
Yes, indeed, thank you. And it's a fantastic way of communicating. And, you know, let's not get too head up about the top end or the big professional end of the market with Nova and what have you. It lends itself brilliantly to schools because it's something we consume when we're doing a whole range of different things, but it's also a very intimate experience where you're listening to someone you trust and you're taking it on board, and you can share this great news, great work, great piece of communication and content to your friends. So podcast is an excellent format for schools to tap into.
We'll get into that a bit deeper, but first, a few things from the report which we can pull out that make the case for podcasting, and in our case, looking at it through the school marketing lens, but that podcasting is activity agnostic. So in other words, people use it as a companion throughout the day doing a range of activities, but what we do know is that the majority of these tasks are undertaken alone. So it is personal, it is one-on-one, it is the equivalent of talk radio.
And in this big article and the research, it talks about it being a niche, yet in terms of schools, the big numbers, it's perfect for community marketing, community outreach almost within the school and the broader community, because that niche is your lifeblood. Well, a niche may be 1,000 or something for any given podcast as far as Nova is concerned, but for you at the school, that's the whole community, and it's a brilliant way to engage them. It's about, you've got the context that is relevant to your audience. You know about education, you know about different areas within that field, and you know your audience. So why not tap into the power of the podcast?
Well, the thing remains, which is almost unique amongst all the communication channels, is that by the time somebody is listening to a podcast that you've produced or perhaps sponsored, but everybody that's there is there on purpose. They've come to listen. There's almost no wastage. That's people who are getting the message unintentionally. So in many ways, it's the best form of demographic targeting you can get, because they're highly qualified and they're self-selecting.
It is. It's absolutely spot on, 100%. But I would say there is one caveat in relation to that. The best results generally come as it's part of an integrated sort of wider marketing mix, but it's a really powerful medium to add to the other different ways you're reaching out on. You know, it might be the newsletter or it might be video. A podcast can do a great job for you.
Now, the Interactive Advertising Bureau, as reported by this article, found that 53% of media buying agencies, so these are the people that stand behind the ad agencies and actually do the advice and the analysis on which channels organisations spend their money in, 53% of them had no experience in advertising and podcasts and or no plans to use podcasts as part of their clients' media mix. So I found that really interesting because what it's saying to me is even the pros don't yet understand this particular channel. It's been around for a while. It conforms to a lot of the same rules as what would if you're, you know, producing great radio will generally make a great podcast. But there are so many other, it's the same way that YouTube changed the rules for vision about what was good vision, podcasting is changing the rules for audio. But going back to our social media and marketing and schools report, 4% of them said that they use podcasts, which is about right. 1% said that it was the most important channel for them, which that surprised me, even that such a low number. It did surprise me because I normally think of podcasts as a great support medium, but not the primary medium. Really interestingly, 11% said that they want to increase the use of podcasts. And as we said before, about half of the respondents want to learn more. Its time has come.
It does.
I think it's ready. It's coming.
There's an interest, and so there should be when you get statistics like pretty much 50% or 49% of podcast listeners are more likely to influence those around them. So they you can consume, you can really take, because of the intimacy of the medium, you can take on board the information, and then you're all the more better equipped to convey it to others. It's absolutely perfect for schools.
Now, this is interesting because it does fall into this discussion about, is it owned media, is it paid media, or is it earned media? So very quickly, owned media is something that you control, you own entirely. Your website is owned media. Your school newsletter is owned media. Is it paid media? And that would be the case if you're buying an ad on TV, placing an ad in the local newspaper, or perhaps even paying for sponsorship on a podcast. Or is it earned, like public relations, a story in the local newspaper? Now, I'm firmly of the belief that it would be a rare circumstance where it would be worthwhile for a school to buy or become part of the paid media channel sponsoring a podcast. In the rare case that there might be a podcast that services a particular geographic area that matches with your school, that's just, frankly, it's rare. It's so rare that I've never seen it work perfectly. However, as owned media, podcasts are fantastic. You can make them. I can guarantee right now you've got all the tools to do it at your school. In fact, if you've got a smartphone, you've got all the tools in your pocket. Owned media, you can control it. You can, as we'll talk about in a little while, the face of the media landscape is changing rapidly, and you can be really, really nimble with this medium.
Yeah, a couple of tips in terms of just making it work, though. Sound quality is really important. Make it relatable, authoritative, and funny.
Well, we get relatable and authoritative on SMC, but, well, I don't know, you bring the humour.
People are going to laugh at us.
Yes, we can be the butt of everybody's jokes. Podcasting, it is worth a look at a school level. Now, Scully, moving on, something else that we've been doing with our clients of late is TV, which is a little bit different because although we've got the background and the skills and all the components necessary, it's TV advertising is not normally something that schools have the budget or want to get into. And yet right now we're working on one and we've got another in the pipeline for a client for early 2019. And Dan King, who is, get this is the title. Dan King is the head of strategy and media planning brand, Global Marketing Solutions. he's got to have one of those cards that flip down as you open them up and reveal many faces.
I don't think he'll have one of those. He works for Facebook. Do you think they do? They have pieces of paper and plastic and cardboard. It'll be, I'm sure he's virtual and I'm sure he's an incredibly clever man.
But he's written an article and he said audiences are moving, but nobody's talking about it. Well, we are right here.
Yeah, look, and he's talking particularly about video, television, how we consume that kind of product. But it's been happening for a long time with press. All that's happened is that the written word, if you like, has been dying a death of a thousand cuts. And it's happening the same way in terms of the moving picture, because once upon a time, magazines sliced up the newspapers, then newspapers became harder and harder and harder.
You're just showing that there's ink in them, their veins.
Yeah. It's nothing new, but it is radically changing the landscape of the advertising marketplace, and something I think we should be aware of, not that there's a massive school advertising going onto television, although it is growing, interestingly, but to know the trend is extraordinary. Some of the statistics, people aged 18 to 49 are watching half the amount of TV than they were. 18 to 24 are now watching more video on connected devices, phones, iPads, whatever it is, than they do broadcast TV. It's a hugely changing landscape. And as Facebook are pointing out here, no one's really talking about it. Well, we're not talking about it over our cornflakes, perhaps, but in the industry, plenty of people are talking about it.
But Mr. Facebook is referring to them as non-advertiser-funded platforms. How scary that there's a platform that you can go to that doesn't have ads. That's got to have anybody with Facebook on their business card scared.
Well, is he saying that he's a non-advertising funded? Where does the money come from? That? Anyway, we won't go there. This isn't a Facebook assassination. This is about the extraordinarily quickly changing landscape, which is very, very worrying if you're in the world of terrestrial TV as we remember it.
So just that other screen use as we're talking about, so not the big screen in the corner of the living room, it's up 4 hours per month in a year. So that's more than a 10% jump across all people. So keep that statistic in mind, and we'll flip over to the Deloitte Consumer Report. And this is amazing. Shows that 91% of the people who are watching broadcast TV do so with a mobile device in hand, splitting their attention. That is staggering. Where once upon a time, your only competition in the ad break was the kettle or the toilet. It's the kettle or the toilet or any other online site that you can think of. That's your competition.
Yeah. Well, the Advertising Research Foundation shows a 60% lift in return on investment when TV is supplemented with digital advertising. Yes. So that was a couple of years old. So this is nothing new, but it's really, really all the more the need to embrace and understand what's happening in the landscape and creating. The challenge is create your own content. You are the publisher. Now, it may be video, it may be podcasting, whatever it may be, but you have the power to own that space yourself.
And it's really the first time in history that this has happened. Every day that we go forward as message creators who are not the big end of town advertisers, schools get one step closer to being able to be totally in control of the message and the interactions that we're having with our parents and the prospective parents. On to our last news item, Scully. This one a little bit quickly, but it's a piece of research saying that perspective taking doesn't help you understand what others want. Now, without trying to pronounce all the names, this is a bit of research written about in Harvard Business Review, so that means that it's beyond reproach. But a social psychology lecturer at a university in Israel, an assistant professor of marketing at Northeastern University in the US, and a professor of behavioral science at the University of Chicago, the Booth Business School there, which is well regarded, have done this study. Now, I mean, this one jumped out at you, Scully, so tell the story.
Well, I liked it because it makes you think about research. And whilst sometimes reading research and creating research can be such a time-consuming exercise, it is incredibly important. And I think as marketers, we spend a lot of our time making assumptions or thinking that we're putting ourselves into the shoes of our audience or our prospective community, clients, whatever you want to call them.
And that's what they set out to test.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, there's a pretty learned trio here who are involved in this, written in Harvard Business Review, which is impressive enough for me. And it's Ingvar Kamprad, that's a great, he's the founder of IKEA.
Go on, say it again, just so you can do the accent.
Ingvar Kamprad. From IKEA, that's
IKEA to you and me.
From IKEA. So I see my task as serving the majority of people. The question is, how do you find out what they want? Now, they made assumptions, but eventually they hit upon the need to actually ask the question. And what this is a sort of an in-depth analysis of like 2,800 MBA students across all these different worthy universities. So it's a pretty bright people. And it was a really interesting study into sort of assumption and behavioral science, really, we found our people in perspective-taking conditions were less accurate in their judgments than people in the control condition.
Now, just to put it clear, the control condition was where they had no clues. So the idea of perspective-taking, in other words, sitting down and consciously thinking, what would that person's perspective be, and therefore how would I make decisions like they do, that perspective-taking didn't help accuracy. If anything, it hurt it.
Yeah, exactly. And they tested this not once but twice, but three times. If you want to know what another person thinks about an issue, perhaps the best strategy is simply to ask them.
Now, revolutionary. Yeah,
so did you ask the question? Now, how do we translate that into the world of school marketing? Simple. We do regular surveys. We ask our community instead of just second guessing or assuming we know the answer. That is a double whammy. Not only does it give us great insights, it also keeps us engaged and is reaching out so that the people within our community feel that they're listened to. It's a no-brainer. Harvard Business Review says so, except they've spent, I don't know how long, years and years researching this, and we've romped through it in about 47 seconds. So accurately understanding other people requires getting perspective, not simply taking it. To understand the mind of another person, we need to rely on our ears more than our intuition.
So while being a school marketer does require that, what I call that marketer's gut, the gut feel, because so often you do have to rely on what would be best here. We don't have the time or the budget or the resources normally in school marketing to go out and test things. That said, too often, I think, Scully, and I'd like to see if you agree, but I think school marketers, we let opportunities to actually listen go through to the keeper, just to use a cricket.
Analogy is the word.
Yes. Just to use a cricket analogy. Yeah, we just don't take up those opportunities when they present themselves. We just assume too much.
The pace of the day means often we have to do that. But really important, once or twice a year, take the temperature of your community on different issues. You will reap the rewards.
Cricket Australia should have listened.
Indeed. They were too busy counting the money.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And now to a word from our sponsor. And this, of course, is the School Marketing Institute, which brings us the SMC podcast each week. Now, if you're looking to clarify your strategy, powerfully articulate your messaging and integrate it all with a suite of industrial strength digital tools, then it is the time to get a personal introduction to Image 7's School Marketing Institute. School Marketing Institute is a membership platform that helps school heads and marketers to get their marketing under control, make it measurable, and to achieve your goals. Each membership comes with a regular mentoring session with one of Image 7's team of professional school marketers, and you can find out more by visiting image7.com.au/SMI. Our new memberships are limited to one a week, so if it sounds like you'd benefit, visit image7.com.au/SMI and book your introduction.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And now to the marketing example. And Scully, I feel a little self-conscious about this one because this is a piece of Image 7 work for Guildford Grammar School. I nearly went to say a boys' school in Perth. You tell the rest of the story for those of our listeners outside Perth and who mightn't be aware.
Guildford Grammar is a beautiful school, well, in the Swan Valley, basically. It's been around a long time, more than 100 years. And it has been a boys' school for a long time, but a couple of years ago, it announced that it would be going co-ed. Now, that in itself was and is a big communication piece. But in 2020, the boarding will be going co-ed. So that's taking it to another level again. So there's a job to be done in communicating the wonders of boarding at Guildford Grammar, the wonders of boarding full stop. And then, of course, to weave in, if you like, the co-ed message, because, of course, still many, many of the students there are boys. So there's a number of, I hesitate to use the word problems to solve, but areas that need to be communicated. And without trying to sound too flippant, the brief was pretty simple. Make sure this is the greatest school boarding video of all time.
How did you feel walking away from that brief?
Not a problem.
Not at all intimidated?
We did one of those last week, so I'll have to knock that off the perch.
Well, but I've got to say, it is a beautiful piece of film, and I mean that in so many senses. All credit to our own Sarah Millinson, who actually shepherded this through and made it all happen. But it's a beautiful piece of storytelling. It's very personal. It's got great shot selection. Really encourage you to go and see it. We've got the link in the show notes. I think it is probably one of the best all-time boarding videos, Scully, but I don't know how we actually quantify that in a research sense, but it is doing good because as we speak, it's been live for just on 2 weeks.
Nearly.
And 70,000 views.
That's not bad going, is it? For a small community, it's a reasonable sized school, but that's really getting some traction. And that's partly because it's storytelling at its best. Okay, it's beautifully filmed, high quality, but it tells a story and it does a great job. You put yourself in the shoes of the parents or of the boy, or in fact of any prospective boarding parent, or in fact, I dare say, of anyone who's got an existing connection with Guildford, they can't help but think, oh, what a great school. I'm so pleased I went there, go there, or my child will go there.
So what's the intended outcome here? What does Guildford actually want to achieve by having created this very nice piece of film that communicates exceptionally well?
Well, probably all of the above, quite frankly. It's about communicating to the existing community because you want those feelings of immense pride and buyer satisfaction, for want of a better phrase.
So they've got to take their own community on a journey, which is this big change from boys to co-ed. That in itself is no small journey with a school of a heritage like Guildford Grammar. And then take them on the journey to, well, we're going to go co-ed in boarding as well. So that building those internal feelings of, well, this is a move that we can be proud of is probably, to me, and I've got to say, I haven't been particularly involved except on the very edges with this client, but that's probably the most important audience of all the audiences.
Yeah, the existing community, particularly the boarding community out there, who some of whom have been going there for generations. They need to be talked to, listened to, and reassured that the essence of Guildford is alive, well, and thriving.
And as we learnt before, this is a one-on-one medium, so the listener of one, thank you for staying with us so far, Mum. If you'd like to go to the link and play, we can get that to 70,001 viewers.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And now it's time for Rants and Raves, where we do a little bit of a rave, where we throw somebody a bouquet, or a bit of a rant and give them a brickbat. And I see, Scully, you've chosen the first one because I've got a short one as well. Scott Seth Godin, he's the author, so I know it can't be anything other than a rave.
Of course. Of course it's a rave. It's His Lordship Seth Godin. He's written a new book. This is Marketing Why You Can't Be Seen Until You Learn to See. But he draws an example of his love of a band called The Grateful Dead, who you probably know of. Whether you've actually listened to them in your life, you'll know the name, I'm sure. Well, they've been around forever.
Even since you were a little lad.
Since the year I was born, actually, they were founded. But they're, as Lord Seth himself says, the Dead are an almost perfect example of the power of marketing for the smallest viable market. So I don't particularly want to talk about the Grateful Dead as such, but just to give it some context, they're enormous and worth hundreds of millions. He reckons they've grossed more than $350 million in revenue while Jerry Garcia, as their lead guitarist, I think he was alive, and he died like 20 years ago.
1995 it was.
Yeah, both you go over 20 years and $100 million more since his death. And that's just in ticket sales. So record sales, album sales,
merchandise,
everything else on top. Now, how did they do that? Because they didn't really care what people thought to a degree. I think they created a niche, and because the true fans showed up, the true fans spread the word, and the true fans were never satisfied. They needed to connect amongst themselves, and it became self-fulfilling as they promoted their love of this band. So now that took a long time for them to grow, as they must have looked around them and seen Beatles and the Rolling Stones and everyone on making gazillions. So they appealed, though, to a kind of small, tiny audience, really, but focused all their energy on them. Can you see the analogy I'm drawing with schools here? It's not about mass media. It's about getting it right for your audience. So that's what is important in school marketing. It doesn't matter if you're loved by the world and his wife. You want to be, in fact, he's better to be judged than ignored, is a saying we said before now. They rely on your own community and help them to share the great work that you're doing.
So the link is in the show notes. It's worth a read. It's only about 3 or 4 minutes a read, that one. Scully, I said that I had a rave, and it's a bit of a different one. Many of our listeners will know that Image 7 is a global partner with the International Boys Schools Coalition. And quite a somber note, Tony Jarvis, who was one of the founders or instrumental in founding the International Boys School Coalition, died earlier this month, aged 79. And the current executive director of the IBSC, David Armstrong, put it beautifully, saying that Tony was a giant of a man upon whose shoulders we stand and whose memory will continue to inspire us to guide, mentor, and most importantly, love the boys we serve. Well said, and just a sad moment for all educators everywhere.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And that almost brings us to the end of episode 144. Of SMC. Now, if you're listening from the Image 7 website, you can pop over to your favourite podcast player for your fortnightly dose of school marketing and communications goodness. Search for SMC, School Marketing and Communications, and you'll find us there. If you've got any questions, some comments, marketing examples, or a rant or rave of your own, or indeed a video which you think is the best boarding video of all time, you can email us at smc@image7.com.au. So that's it for this episode of SMC. From Scully and myself, Brad Emsel, bye for now.
Goodbye.